Welcome to the Simple Actions group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Ryan, and I'm an alcoholic.
Ryan.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen in an uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 12. Please welcome our panel, Will and David. No. Yeah. Okay. I will read the first paragraph on page 89, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. So, step 12 states, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And from page 89, first paragraph. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives.
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a member of the New Day group in Virginia Beach. My sobriety date is July 14, 2002, and I'm grateful to be here. Thanks for having us. Thanks for chairing, Ryan. And the first paragraph made me think of, I came to AA through a treatment center, and I didn't understand a lot about it for a long time, but for some reason I understood that being helpful was part of this thing, and I guess it was just because of all the help that I received. And my hope early on was to be able to help somebody someday because of that, you know. In particular, I remember I was about 10 days sober and out in the Serenity Garden swapping war stories with other people, and you know, a little different than being at the bar, the same stories, but we were kind of trying to learn something from them, I think. And but a nurse came out about 2 in the morning and said, "You guys need to go to bed." And I said, you know, I got angry. And I didn't have a lot of emotions in those days because I drank them all away. But I got really angry. Who is she to tell me what to do? You know, I'm a grown man. I'm in the asylum, but I'm a grown man. But you know, what happened was I prayed the serenity prayer that night, and the next morning it was the only tool I had at that point. And it helped a little, but a fellow came out that had been there 2.5 months. He was an old timer in my book, you know, and it took him about an hour, but he got through my head that underneath that anger was fear, and I was scared of giving up control. And once I got that, I realized I hadn't done a very good job being in control. Maybe I needed to give up control and do what the people in AA said and the counselor said. And then I got a sponsor, and that guy helped me tremendously. So that gave me a lot of hope, just knowing how much help I had received and hoping that maybe I could do that someday. And then the second paragraph is one of my favorites in the book, just because that's my experience. I was so lonely when I got here. And now I have a host of friends. I know, I'd say 70% of the people in here, you know. I walked in, I knew everybody standing outside, you know. I remember early in my sobriety, after I'd gotten out of treatment, I was going to New Day in the morning at 7:30, and afterwards people went to breakfast, you know. And it took all the courage I could muster to go up and ask if I could join them. And they said yes, of course. And I expected this big spiritual seance, you know, all these old timers around the table. And, you know, it was just breakfast with a bunch of guys. And we talked a little about recovery, but other things in our lives, but I felt a part of, you know, and they kept pulling me in, and I'm grateful for that. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Will Cheney. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Will.
My sobriety date is July 27th, 2009. And my home group is Friends of Bill W. in Suffolk. And I have a sponsor sitting next to me, and I sponsor other men. And I'm so grateful that God allowed me the time and money at the end of my drinking to drink myself into a state of suffering I could no longer tolerate. What our book calls that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Now, I had to live it to know what that meant. And surrendered, and I asked God for help, and one of the, he helped me in so many ways in that moment, but was that he had everyone perfectly situated in alcoholics to get me the help I not only needed, but wanted. And the man that took me to my first meeting took me to my third meeting, and God put my sponsor in my life at that meeting. And that line, you can help when no one else can. I believe God orchestrates all this. I see it every day. The men that he puts in my life, I'm so grateful for. And, you know, we talk about that we have to give back what was given to us. And it just so happened God orchestrated to put a firm and loving sponsor in my life. I needed that firmness. I was 59 years old. I was a very sick man. I needed all the help I could get. I still do today, by the way. And he began to give me directions. You know, all I did a week was make a phone call. And we met, and he said, "Tell me why you believe you're an alcoholic." And I shared briefly about the consequences of my drinking. I would answer that question differently today. And he asked me if I was willing to go to any lengths, and I said yes. And so as I began to follow his directions, I began to get structure in my life. And I became obedient. And I was in a state of compliance. I had drunk that defiance right out of me. And I remember when he had guided me to say some prayers in the morning and at night. And on the third day, I called him at the appointed time. And he said, "Did you pray this morning?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Did you get on your knees when you prayed?" And I said, "No, I just laid in bed and prayed." He said, "Well, we can work on that." And I've been on my knees ever since. Because he didn't say, "You got to get on your knees." I said, yeah, I do remember asking, can I use a pillow? He said, well, yeah, well, you can use a pillow. But, you know, it felt awkward and uncomfortable. But these are the kinds of things, the guidance, I call it, that I get from my sponsor. And he began to guide me, and I remember being just short of 30 days, standing outside at the meeting, and there's a guy there just walked through the door, and he said, Will, you can help that man. I didn't think I had anything to offer. He had me working that 12 step by making the coffee and sticking my hand out to the newcomers, the things that I still do today. And it did. It's a magical experience for me. When I stick my hand out to a suffering alcoholic, then I'm no longer thinking about myself. That's a great place for me to be. And this experience, I was on vigil for several weeks with a beloved pet who went to the Rainbow Bridge this past week. And I know this, I've been through this process of grief numerous times. And I know what to do. I have the solution. And I kept the program of action alive in my life. And I met with my guys. And for that time, I'm relieved of the weight of that pain. Now, I know that pain that I experienced during these times is going to help me realize a greater happiness when I accept it. And I'm so grateful to have two men in my life today that helped me so much. Thank you.
Thanks, you. Will. All right, we're going to move on over to page 91. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the trouble liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his own.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. And I wasn't in any mood to share when I got here. I was very shy and reticent and ashamed. And I had a hard time looking at you. You know, I looked at the floor a lot. But I did find that I liked listening. And I liked the stories that the guys and the ladies told in the meeting I went to, the home group, as well as all the other meetings. The experience, strength, and hope that they had. And they talked to me before and after I sat in the corner, you know, but it was nice. They told me to keep coming back, of course, which I hadn't heard in a while. But I did start to read, you know, how it works and that kind of thing, at least open my mouth that way and let them know who I was. And I remember one of the first times I shared, I'd been to another meeting. There was a gruff fellow there that shook the book at you when he talked, and at one point he said, if you want to go out and drink, I got $20 I'll give you right now. And that made me really angry. I thought I was a real mellow guy, but evidently I was more angry than I knew, because that made me really angry, because if it had been $100, I might have taken him up on it. Yeah, 20 wasn't enough. But I shared that story at my meeting, and the guys all said, well, you know, some people are sicker than others, and, you know, quality, not quantity, and all these things. Pray for him, you know, all those beautiful AA sayings. But they work, and I tried it, and it worked. And as AA would have it, that guy became my sponsor about a month later and helped me tremendously, because he did know that book that he shook at me, and he helped me get through all the action. Well, they're all action steps, really, but he helped me through 3 through 9, and I'm grateful for that. Thanks.
I remember, it was about 6 months, and I was doing everything that my sponsor asked me, but I was still firmly in the dark and I was suffering from depression, and I still wanted to die. I was mourning the loss of that old life. I loved every drink I ever took. And I was helping make the coffee at our home group, and another fellow was there, and it was just the two of us. And he said, Will, I want to ask you a question. I said, what's that? He said, will you sponsor me? And all I can remember is that moment is I'm supposed to say yes, and I just blurted out, yes. And I was able to backtrack later and do the way that it was done with me. I believe we met the next day, and I just asked him the same questions. I said, tell me why you believe you're an alcoholic, and I listened, and then I shared some of my experience, strength, and hope, and asked him if he was willing to go to any lengths. And ever since then, I've not blurted out yes right away. This is a process that I love. And when an alcoholic comes up to me and asks for my help, I always say, I'm willing and available. Tell me why, do you believe you're an alcoholic? And if all they got to do is give me a little opening there. And most of them just say yes right away. And I'll say, just call me in the morning and we'll get together and chat. And we usually spend about an hour. And it just is such a wonderful process. And I've had them with a more of a lighthearted mood, and I've had them with a serious mood, and I always just try to remember to smile and not come from any kind of moral or spiritual mountaintop. It is such a wonderful experience to look into a suffering alcoholic's eyes. It's like looking in the mirror for me. Right in the lead up, in the moments leading up to my surrender, I looked in the bathroom mirror and I didn't recognize the image looking back at me. But it was the image that I deserved. It was the face that I deserved. And the edge is off of that memory. I still remember what happened that day and that night. But that's why I have to continue to keep my feet moving in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm always grateful when I get to look into the eyes that I had and have that reminder. And I'm always grateful when an alcoholic comes back after some time of sobriety and helps remind me. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Continuing on page 91. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him the account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless future of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to this book, unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can, if he is not too alcoholic. But insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself.
I'm Dave, I'm an alcoholic. The first paragraph, I love the term mental twist. I had a lot of twist in my mind. And, all of its accompanying decisions and my insanity, it was really the things I did before taking the first drink. You know, a lot of stupid things I did when I was drunk. But, I did a lot of the stuff that I had to make amends for was done when I was not drunk. It was done so that I could get drunk or stay drunk or further my drinking, or afford my drinking, you know, lying, cheating, stealing. I was not drunk when I did those things. And it took a while through working the steps with a sponsor to be able to see that, you know. And I did not like being called insane, you know. I thought I had a good mind. I'd always been told I had a good mind, but there's no doubt that I'm an alcoholic and the obsession is there. And I could write my own chapter, basically, on, you know, like chapter 3. There's no doubt about that. And then in the second paragraph, my second 12-step meeting, I went to one when I was 19 when I got my first DUI. I was too young, too good-looking, had too much going on to be an alcoholic. I did not know what an alcoholic was, you know, so I couldn't be one. And I had four DUIs. I never went to another AA meeting as a result. I signed the sheet every time, and because I knew y'all were talking about not drinking. I didn't want any part of that. But towards the end of my drinking, about 2 years before the end, my current boss came over to my house. The electricity was off, of course, and he was a kind man. He still is. He said, "I'll pay your electric bill and give you a job if you go to one meeting with a mutual friend of ours." And even my mind could do that math, you know, 1 hour, get my lights back on and a job, yeah, I'll do that. And so I went to the meeting with this friend. I used to run hard with this guy, and he was 7 years clean. He took me to the other fellowship, and I listened, and afterwards I told him, "Yeah, I've got a problem with that stuff, but drinking's not my problem." You know, four DUIs, always started with drinking, ended with drinking, all of that, but drinking's not my problem. And so I stuck to the idea that I could control my drinking, right? And he was very good. He just said, "Okay, I'll talk to you later," and dropped me off. And the next day he did call me and said he'd talk to some people with more time, and they said there was a 99% chance that I couldn't do that. And as it says here, if I'm severely afflicted, there's little chance I can recover by myself. And I spent 2 years proving that to myself, until I got to a state that I was terrified when I was sober, you know, when I got fired from that job. And thank God, I thought it was the worst day of my life, but it was the best. Thanks.
I'm so grateful I've had the experience that I share with a newcomer, that during my years with untreated alcoholism, I was able to separate myself from alcohol twice in my life for a period of 2 years. And I was doing the Will Cheney program, worked quite well for me. I wasn't restless and irritable and discontent, and I was going to church and listening to Van Morrison, who is my favorite spiritual songwriter, and walking in the park and communing with nature. But I was doing spiritual things, but I was not seeking God. And I don't remember praying except when I went to church. And I would each time, I don't remember anything in particular going on, but I experienced that peculiar mental twist where I woke up and the birds were tweeting. And my mind just said, "I think I'll start drinking again. There's no one around to tell me I can't." And I'd get rolling about 10 in the morning. It's time. You deserve this, Will. And when I meet with a newcomer, I'm so grateful that my sponsor taught me, "Will, just give them the facts. Give them the facts." And the facts that I give them are the alcohol was just a symptom. And I had a sickness of the soul. And it distorted my thinking and caused my emotional state to swing between euphoria and the abyss. And during those times of dry times, those long dry times, I had no solution. And the other fact that it's a fatal disease. And I say this just like my sponsor. I do my best to say it just like my sponsor in a matter-of-fact way. I'm not trying to scare you to death. It's just a fact. You know, this is a fatal disease. It's it's up to each one of us what we want to do now. And I'm always willing, you know, if they're a little on the fence about being an alcoholic, As long as they say they're willing to go to any lengths to win victory over alcohol, I'm willing to take their hand and walk this path, because I believe that the steps may help them arrive at the conclusion that either they are or they aren't. And once in a blue moon, I have suggested controlled drinking when it's appropriate. And I like being able to speak with the power of the big book. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, over on page 92. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. You'll soon have your friend admitting he has many, if not all, of the traits of the alcoholic. If his own doctor is willing to tell him that he is alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question, if he will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided that it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your convictions are.
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. I usually let the other guy decide if he's an alcoholic. The way it happened with me is the first night I was in treatment, third night I was sober. We read the doctor's opinion, and that's always my first assignment with a new guy, because it was probably the most important piece of literature I've ever read in my life, because it explained alcoholism, which I had no idea what it was, you know. And we talk about craving and obsession and progression, and we talk about the solution offered in AA. It's practical guide to spirituality. And I don't suggest anybody drink more to prove to themselves they're an alcoholic. I don't believe in that. I believe that given 90 days or 6 months, if we work through the book and we look at their story and look at the record, it'll be easy for them to decide if they are an alcoholic or not, you know. And if they decide not and they are, John Barleycorn will run them back in, according to the book. But I also talk about my spiritual path with them. I went from saying there's no proof there's a God to saying there's no proof there isn't a God. That opened the door enough for me. Then a moment came where I had to abandon myself utterly to God in that moment, because I was going to drink again. And I tried calling my sponsor and going to meetings. And I made the first, well, maybe not the first, but a truly sincere outreach to God to help me to get home that night. And he did. Today I see proof everywhere. I can look around this room and see 100 examples of God's power and grace. And I came to believe through working the steps. You know, my sponsor guided me through, and he pointed out places where grace existed. You know, that it could have been a whole lot worse. And I don't deal in shoulds, but if it was me making the decision, it should have been a whole lot worse. You know, so I'm grateful that it wasn't, and that God saw fit to put me in this seat. It's practical action and practice. Those are the keys to me. You know, I don't understand my higher power. I do have one. My understanding changes. I had the thought today in reading this where, you know, it says I don't have to agree with your conception of God. I don't know if my God or your God got me sober or gave me that grace, you know. But I do know that we have a God as we understand him, I think. In the second tradition, it talks about a loving, forgiving, merciful God, you know. And I'm grateful to have been introduced to that concept because I did not get that growing up. It was a guy throwing, to my understanding, a guy throwing lightning bolts, and I was the target. So I'm glad that's not the case anymore. I'm grateful. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. I remember in my first week speaking on the phone with my dad, who lived in Dallas and had 22 years of sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I described my surrender, where I just, sitting in the dark on the sofa at 3 in the morning, I just looked upward and the weak voice said, "God, please help me." And he said, "Will," he said, "sounds like you've done the first three steps to me." Now, looking back, I can see I didn't know anything about the second part of the third step, about turning my will over. And it would take a lot of ego deflation for that to happen. And but as I began to walk this path with my sponsor, I don't recall him, besides guiding me to pray twice a day, I don't remember him saying much about God, or he just had me taking the actions to seek my own personal relationship with the God of my understanding. That was palatable to me. I'd finally drunk myself into the state. You know, I'd ignored all that all my life and running on self-reliance. And so this all came about with him through walking through the steps. And it was wonderful, because even though I was depressed, I began to live in the moment and just let the process unfold. And that he had me carrying the message in service was very important to my recovery. And in making the coffee quite often, and having a job at the home group. And these are the things I do my best to pass along to the alcoholics who ask for my help. And that's all I say about the spiritual aspect when I meet with a newcomer, that I drunk myself into a state of being willing to seek a personal relationship with the God of my understanding. I had no idea what that meant. And all I knew was I was in that state of readiness to keep putting one foot in front of the other, even though I wanted to die. And I'm so grateful. Lo and behold, in 9 months it happened and the weight was lifted. I knew right then. I could see everything. I could understand my past and why everything happened the way it was supposed to. And I knew God had me perfectly positioned. I had gotten divorced. I have a job that gives me freedom. And I knew that I was supposed to carry as many alcoholics around in my car and do whatever God sent me to do that day to help another alcoholic. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you. Moving over to page 94. Outline the program of action. Explain how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions.
Dave, I'm an alcoholic. And that reminded me of what my sponsor told me, that AA is here to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. And I've been on both sides of that equation. And I'm grateful for that. What I thought about reading this chapter is that while, yeah, we have sponsor-sponsee relationships, it takes a village, you know, it takes all of us. I try to expose the guys I work with to all kinds of people and all kinds of situations in AA and life in general, and show them that, you know, this is not the end of your life. I thought it was the end of my life. I know that. I mean, how am I going to live without drinking? How am I going to have any fun? What am I going to do? The truth is, my life was never more boring than the last 10 years of my drinking, because I was just doing the same things over and over again, you know, and just really going nowhere, going backwards, you know, and just stuck in the mud. And so, there's nothing better in my book than windshield time, you know, spending time in the car going somewhere, whether it's a meeting or a conference or a ball game or the movies, whatever it might be, you know. Just one-to-one time. It can be, we can talk about AA, or we can talk about the weather, you know, whatever it might be. I do know my conversations in general are not as centered around weather and sports as they were when I was drinking. There's usually more going on in my mind these days, at least things that I'm willing to share going on in my mind. And, you know, we do book studies in our homes to show that, yeah, we do this thing everywhere, and it really does work. You know, I do sponsor lines also that where guys that my sponsor's there, his sponsor, guys I sponsor, guys they sponsor, and we sit around and we check in on the three legs of AA, the service triangle, service, unity, and recovery. And we talk about where we are in each of those, where we are in the steps, what we're doing at our home group, how we're doing helping others, you know. And what that does for the new guys, I hope, and I believe this is true, is it shows them, yeah, that we're really doing this stuff, and it really does work, you know, that we are living happy, joyous, and free. And that doesn't mean it's all the time that we have struggles, but I know today when something happens adversely and there's adverse conditions in my life, I look for solutions. I don't like being in those situations. I ask for help now. I'm not scared of that. When things are going good is probably when I'm in the most trouble. That's when the thought of a drink crosses my mind, you know. But I know today, at least today, that that's a lie, that it cannot make anything better. It can only make things worse. I've proved it to myself over and over. I've had my allotment. Thanks.
Well, my last five-year binge was, I had a ball. I was still having a ball, man. I was living that grandiose life, and I had the money to do it. And I met a woman, and on our first date, we went to New York City, stayed at the best hotel, ate at the best restaurants, shopped at the best stores, and went and saw Van Morrison. And I just had a ball. And, you know, I just love that I got that. I got that in my past, and I don't regret it a bit. And it is a good memory for me to have. I wouldn't want to live that way again. But, you know, the fact that, you know, I really don't have the desire to drink again and to go back to that as much as I enjoyed it. And I remember my sponsor as well teaching me about the three legacies and talking about it quite often as a newcomer. And I was so addled, dazed, bewildered, and confused, I didn't remember what all three were until I'd had a spiritual awakening. I just could not retain it. But he had me involved in all three. He had me having that experience, even though I couldn't remember what they were. And I spoke of that first sponsee at 6 months. And he hadn't drunk himself into a state of compliance. He wasn't willing to do much of what I had done. And he wouldn't call for 2 or 3 days. I was on the phone with Steve, like, what was that? I couldn't imagine why somebody wouldn't want what was happening in my life. And, you know, and Steve was so kind about it. He just laughed. He just loved it. And that man helped me. He taught me so much. And, you know, I can see now that with each alcoholic that God puts in my life, that I become more effective as a guide. Steve gave me these parameters about my life, about romance and finance and being self-supporting and not supporting other alcoholics. And I took those things to heart. I listened and I followed his guidance. And I remember at 11 months, I'd gotten divorced from that third wife, but she wanted to get together in Richmond for a little rendezvous. And I went to my sponsor and I said, "What do you think about this, Steve?" And he said, "Well, if it had been 3 months ago, I'd have said no, but I think it's okay. You're both consenting adults." And I was so elated. And I went off to that rendezvous. And afterwards, I realized that she didn't have my best interest at heart. Because I'd had a spiritual awakening, I now want to be with someone who has my best interests at heart. And so I do my best to pass these things along to the alcoholics that I work with. It is always, they're grown men, and it's always their choice as to what they do with it. And I'm happy whenever they talk about what's going on in any facet of their life. I'm not going to tell them what they should do. I'm just going to tell them what served me well and do my best to give them the big picture as they continue to make their choices. Even if they don't make the choice I would have made, I say, this would be a great opportunity for growth. And just keep a hold of their hand as best I can. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last reading will be on page 96. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you have to offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. This part is very difficult for me. As Will said, I want everybody to get sober. I want everybody to have, what you've given me. And it can be heartbreaking when that doesn't happen. And I do not believe that some people have to die so that others may live. Yeah, nobody has to die so that I can live, I don't think. Some people do die. I've lost 7 sponsees, and all of them were younger than me. But, I don't think I've ever fired anybody. There may be somebody here that thinks differently. I have fired myself a couple of times because what I'm doing to help them isn't working, right? And so I try to steer them to somebody that might be able to help them that has a different skill set or a different story that's more aligned. And I offer myself as part of their support group, and I always pick up the phone when anybody calls, or I call back if they leave a voicemail. But it's such a beautiful thing. Like I say, it is very difficult to watch somebody suffer. But again, who am I to stop them from what they need to do? This is one of the things I struggle with the most, is the detaching with love and all that. But I have seen so much success out here, and so many people walk in here with their heads down and see them lift up and see them get better and see them become productive family members and productive members of society in general, and there's nothing that fills my heart more than to see that. Thanks.
I often say that, is this not working? I often say that I don't have a favorite step per se. My favorite step is the one that God wants me to be working on right in this moment. And the only way I can know which step that is the 11th step. And I'm very fortunate that God set my life up in such a way that I get to practice and put the time into that every day. And that's how I know who God wants me to be helpful to. That's the last prayer I say every morning is, please guide me to who I can be helpful to. And it's only with that conscious contact that I can guide other alcoholics. I am so grateful that David and Cullen are here with me tonight. And I got to say, you know, we try not to give our guys a big head, but if they get a big head, they'll get an opportunity to shrink it again. But they're doing things, they have displayed a willingness that I can say I didn't have at the same amount of sobriety time. I did a lot of the things reluctantly. And it's just a wonderful thing to witness. And I heard yesterday in a meeting, and David and I shared about this after the meeting, or I did, the fable about the frog and the scorpion. And the scorpion that asked the frog to carry him to the other side of the creek. And the frog says, but of course you will sting me and kill me. He said, no, if I were to do that, we would both die. Because I would drown. And so the frog carries the scorpion and he stings the frog. And the frog says, why would you do that? We'll both die. And he said, because it's my nature. And I had looked up that fable recently. I was so glad this fellow brought it up. And I started, you know, drawing the analogy between sponsors and sponsees. And as a sponsor, I'm the frog carrying them across the water. I've pretty much become immune to the stinging. Because most of them ain't gonna do what I did. And some of them are meant to drink again. And that's between them and God. I've never told a sponsee, don't drink. That's between you and God. But if you don't want to drink and you want to walk this path, I'll be generous with my time if you want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, I'm going to be prudent with my time. And when they do sting, I am undaunted and largely unaffected now. I've had enough experiences. And this is all because of God's help, God's power, God's grace, and God's forgiveness in my life. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Thank you both for sharing with us this evening. At this time, we will pass the seventh tradition.
Well done.
The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free from outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Do we have any AA-related announcements?
My name is Steve Rocha, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Steve.
Tomorrow night, Impact and Speaker Meeting, which meets at the Episcopal Church in Suffolk, our speaker is going to be John P. from the Fellowship of the Peer Group in Boston.
All right.
Hungry? I have the fly. All right, the Simple Actions Group is having our supper and a speaker in 2 weeks, which is January
22.
Thank you. We will be having a potluck supper at 6 p.m. and a speaker at 7 p.m. We're getting Chris Arf all the way from Ingram, Texas. Please come out. I hope to see lots and lots of people here. Anybody else? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Thank you. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety so that we can welcome you?
All right, way in the back.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome. Welcome.
Somebody else?
Hey, Rachel, welcome. Welcome.
All right, welcome. We have literature available on the table to my right, your left. Please see me or any of the home group members after the meeting if you're interested in that. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk to me. And just a reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And in closing, I would like to again thank the panel for sharing. All right. Are we going out to dinner tonight?
Sure.
All right. After we clean up, everyone is invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is right down
Colombo.
But 22nd? 22nd. All right. Can someone read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Kendall, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Kendall.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right, let's close with the Lord's Prayer.
I guess we're going behind the table. Here we go.
Oh, shock you.
Oh, did I shock you?
Did you feel it?
No. That's my dead hand, anyways. I can't really feel my arm.
No. Okay.
Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,